Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
We've got just enough time, or maybe more than enough time, to end today's show with sports because it's Wednesday. And here with me is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Magna.
I remember last week we only had 3 minutes. We got a lot more than that because we've got a lot more to talk about today, Bill. NBA Finals kick off tomorrow night, Cleveland versus Golden State. This is what, the third year in a row these two have made it to the finals?
Yeah, there were lots of people who predicted that, as it turned out, predicted correctly that this would be the matchup in the finals. And I think it's great. I think it's terrific. I love stories that have chapters. And boy, does this NBA Finals story have chapters.
So whose chapter is this, right? Because it was the Cavs last year, the Warriors the year before that.
Maybe it's just because I watched a fair amount of the Cavaliers-Celtics series, but I find it very hard to believe that the Cavaliers won't win the championship this time around. Both of these teams were incredibly successful, just absolutely dominant through the entire playoffs. But I think LeBron James is absolutely without parallel at this point.
And, I thought you were going to say he's pretty good.
He's playing at another level. And, you know, there was that one odd game where he disappeared.
Yeah.
And that was so strange because he has taught us to believe that he can do just about anything on a basketball court. And to see a game in which he failed to materialize in that way, it was just otherworldly. It was very odd.
Okay. So, I mean, since you brought up King James, sometimes I feel like I am dating myself because whenever I think of, like, the greatest basketball player ever, I'm a child of the 80s, right? I had my Air Jordans. I had that poster of Michael Jordan with his enormous wingspan. I mean, is LeBron James going to surpass Michael Jordan as the greatest player of recent memory?
Well, of course, he's already surpassed Michael Jordan as the greatest scorer in playoff history, and that is one measure. I'm a little bit uncomfortable with talking about greatest player in a team sport, and a sport like basketball, which is so obviously a team sport. Greatness in basketball is accomplished by people who play together brilliantly as a team. I guess if you wanted to talk about the greatest basketball player of all time and you wanted to limit the criterion simply to rings, you'd talk about Bill Russell. Wouldn't really talk about Michael Jordan at all. But that was another era and an entirely different time. And, of course, the NBA was a great deal more popular during Michael Jordan's heyday than it was during Bill Russell's.
Well, you know, LeBron James himself has been asked about this frequently, and he says he looks up to Michael Jordan's achievements. I mean, here's James just last summer.
I'm chasing that greatness, that how great that ghost was. You know, everyone automatically kind of like, oh, he's trying to be, you know, he's talking down on MJ, he's trying to be better than MJ. What actually is he talking about? That's always been my goal since I got in the NBA. When I was 18 years old, I told everyone that my favorite player was Michael Jordan. Hopefully I can get to that point.
I love that he was like, his favorite player was Jordan.
Yes. And it's silly to argue which of them is greater. I mean, unless you wanted to do one of those computer simulations, you know, and have a one-on-one Michael Jordan to the top of his game against LeBron James now.
Who would win?
Muhammad Ali. I don't have any idea. But I think what people should really enjoy is the opportunity to watch in James, one of the greatest single players who is magnificently effective within the context of the team game. He's a great passer, as well as a great shooter. If you stop him from driving, he shoots from three-point land, and he makes everybody, this is the cliche, of course, he makes everybody with whom he plays better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, since we're talking about sporting greats and a completely different aspect of that. Let's talk for a minute about Tiger Woods. I mean, he was arrested under suspicion of driving under the influence. Police found him asleep in his car. In a statement issued after the arrest, Woods says no alcohol was involved in the incident, but he had an unexpected reaction to prescribed medications. His mugshot's been all over television. I mean, it seems like he's had just a very long ongoing downfall.
Yeah, I guess it's been a long ongoing downfall, and some of it certainly was self-imposed, especially the business with the various relationships with women outside his marriage, about which he first lied and then eventually confessed and all the rest of it. This latest thing, we live in a time when mugshots become evident everywhere, and they're never coming down. That mugshot will be up on the web forever, and it's kind of a shame. You know, this is a guy who was projected to be the greatest who ever lived. His father said he's not only going to change golf, he's going to change the world. Writers celebrated him to an extent that perhaps no golfer had ever been celebrated before, and I'm talking about not just what he could do on the golf course. He's had terrible physical problems. He's had back surgeries.
Multiple doctors
promise him that they could fix him and then fail to do it. He's had comeback after comeback after comeback stymied by pain. And anybody who's ever gone through this sort of thing, thinking that they're going to be fixed and then having it not work out, and I can certainly sympathize with all of that. And by the way, the tests that they ran subsequent to his arrest did demonstrate that alcohol was not an issue.
Yeah.
He's certainly still at fault for overdosing himself on whatever, I guess Vicodin was one of the things that he was taking, but whatever pain medication he was on. But, you know, it wasn't a DUI as it turned out.
Yeah.
And he has said he's taking responsibility for what he's doing. I just think it's a very sad circumstance, and I sympathize with what he has gone through.
Well, I don't want to run out of time, Bill, before we talk about another sad story. But I want to remember this person in the greatness and light that he represented, because longtime NPR sports commentator Frank DeFord passed away this past weekend. He spent 35 years writing sports commentary for NPR, and you were a friend of him, of Frank's. I mean, tell us a bit about him as a person.
Well, I did have the opportunity to meet Frank, and our first connection was kind of a funny one. He was doing Morning Edition on Wednesday. His spot, my spot, was on Tuesday, and Red Barber was on Friday. Although Frank and I had never met, my first book came out, and I needed a blurb. The publisher had failed to get the blurbs they said they were going to get, and they said, no problem, we'll just put your face on the back cover. And I said, no, don't do that. And I called Frank and I said, you don't really know me, but we're sort of colleagues. You know, I'm on Tuesday, you're on Wednesday. How about quick reading my book and give me a blurb? And he couldn't have been more gracious and more kind.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of our acquaintance. And it did become a friendship. And we did a couple of things together over the years. And always an elegant fellow, always
a masterful writer.
Masterful writer, articulate, smart, funny, great entertainer. Really a joy to be with and to listen to, and I'll miss him very much.
Yeah, same here. Well, Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear Bill every Saturday on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and on most Wednesdays right here on Radio Boston. Bill, thank you so much as always.
Thanks for the opportunity, Meghna.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.